opinions expressed by the hosts, callers, and guests are not those of DGVRadio.com, Envisage Productions, LLC, its advertisers, sponsors, or employees.
All right. Here we go. Another episode, another show, another ministry calling here on www.mikebroadcastddv.com. This is the day the Lord has made. We are rejoicing and we're glad in it. We also acknowledge those on my Mike Live show here. So we got Mike Live and we got DDV Radio calling our people today. Delon Harrison, welcome my brother. President Crystal, M318. Maria, this M belongs to you. And Crystal, we're going on. We're believing God. Linda, so glad you're sticking in, Linda Shalen. And we're looking forward to some good seed time, harvest, and principles. And I'm calling out a few people who sow seed today. We'll not call out their names, but they know who they are. A young sister, daughter of mine, she sowed a seed today. Thank God for her. May God bless her and her family. Also, a brother of mine who's actually a cook, he sowed a seed today. We're calling him out today. And also another young spiritual daughter of mine. She's a very powerful woman in the recreational world. I pray for her. And everyone that sowed seed today, I'm going to be praying and prophesying over and speaking. Today's lesson today is the power of Jacob over the power of Esau. The power of Jacob over the power of Esau. And this is a good show to listen to and learn from, because we're going to learn that there are two different types of blessings. There's a one that's the top blessing, and there's one called the lesser blessing. And you're going to learn that based on your level of obedience and listen to God will determine what blessing it is. Now, what I'm about to teach you is something that might be contrary to your political beliefs, but it's all biblical. And here's some things I want to say first before I get started. A child is not a child because it's outside the womb. A child is a child inside the womb. All right. As a matter of fact, God is so deep, a child starts off in sperm form. That's why you don't meet your mother first, you meet your father first. God put you between your daddy's legs, and then your father met your mama, and he took what's between his legs and put it between her legs. Listen to me, I'm very graphic. And then your mama carried around your daddy for 9 months, really 40 weeks. And then when the time is right, your mama pushed out your daddy's image in form of males and females. So you didn't come from your mama. You didn't come from your daddy. You came through your daddy, and your daddy put you in your mommy. Okay. Now, this is something that's contrary to American culture, but it's quite biblical. So really, when you meet a man, when you meet your future husband, some of you single women, you got to look across the table and look at him and say, do I plan to let him put his image inside of me? And you're going to carry his image or male or female form. So you got to be able to look and see if the guy you're dating or the woman you're dating and look at each other and see, are you ready for them to be reduplicated through you? This is very key. Now, deep thing, Tamina and Pamela and Maria, this image for you. Linda, this image for you. Chris, this image for you. These are people who sold to our ministry on a regular basis. You're going to figure out that your child is much smarter than you think. And you think you know so much more than your kids, but your kids are much more smarter than what they tell you. And according to the biblical script, Jacob and Esau was having a wrestling match inside of the mama's womb before they came out the mama's womb. All right. And I got the remix Bible today. I'm not going into the studying mode. I'm going into the paraphrase mode. And I'm trying to explain to people, and people better hear me very carefully. Your children are smarter than what you think. And the sooner you become aware of that, the better off you'll be. And kids at 1 month old, 2 months old are smarter than what you think. Because according to the biblical script, Jacob inside of his mama's womb knew the importance of coming out first. And here are some biblical things. Here are some Jewish idioms. Here are some things that you're going to begin to understand that you may never have understood before. All right. That the position of your birth and the succession of your birth is just as important as your birth. So when people tell me I got brothers and sisters, I always ask questions. Are you the firstborn? Are you the secondborn? Are you the thirdborn? Are you the fourthborn? Are you the fifthborn or are you the sixthborn? See, I'm the secondborn. Some folks are thirdborn. Hello, Joshua. What's up, cuz? Coming out to Atlanta, Georgia in about another week. All right. So I want to find out what time you was born, where you was born, and are you the male species or the female species? There is nothing in the kingdom of God that is by accident. All right. That's very key. Nothing is by accident. Everything is by God's pre-approval. And God has chosen it for a greater reason and a greater purpose. So when you read biblical stories, this is very key. Please hear me closely. When you read biblical stories, which are written to a Jewish audience, with a Jewish understanding, you have to understand sometimes the Jewishness or the last born, which makes you the youngest. So everybody's birth is important, but also the succession. So you need to ask God for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding for not only the time of your birth, when you are born, where was you at when you was born, and what city were you in, what state were you in, what hospital you was in. See, we just overlook these things, but in Jewish understanding, all that stuff meant something. When a Jewish family had a male child, it was full of shouting and dancing and praising because a male child was born. But when a female child was born, it was like, yeah, we had a female. It wasn't really a great celebration because they really felt that the male child was the bomb diggity or was lit. And that's due to the curse of Miss Eve or the woman of Genesis that Christ restored after his resurrection. So when a male child was born, they partied for 7 days. And it's deep to have a male child because the male child carries the seed for the next generation. So my mother and my father gave birth to 4 different male carriers. They carried the seed. So Ronald was the oldest. He's the matrix. I'm the second, Michael. My brother Derek is the third. And my fourth brother, of course, is Ivan J. McDuffie. He's the fourth. All 4 boys. We did not have a sister. We have 4 sons. So my mother and my father gave birth to 4 generations. So they carried the gene. And their seed carried on something deeper and greater. So let me make it to you even more plain. Isaac McDuffie is our dad. So Isaac McDuffie offspring his image in 4 different ways. He offsprung in the image of Ronald, in the image of Michael, in the image of Derek, in the image of Jay. So if you look Ronald in the face, look Michael in the face, look Derek in the face, look Jay in the face, you will see Isaac in all of our faces. Now, if you look at me, you'll see Isaac inside of Ronald, Isaac inside of Michael, Isaac in front of Isaac and through Derek, and Isaac through Jay. Now, even though we're 4 different sons, 4 different male species, 4 different personalities, 4 different callings, we're all tall, but if you look at us, you can see the McDuffie trait of Isaac McDuffie through the face of Ronald, Michael, Derek, and Jay. Now, I'm making a point that what's in the Father is passed down. It is the seed of the Father. Notice the name of God. He's the God and Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He doesn't call himself the God of Rebecca, Mary, and Esther. It's something about the matriarchic father thing that carries out. It doesn't mean that the father figure or the male figure is more important. It means they're more responsible. They're supposed to cover. They're supposed to protect. So here's a bombshell for some of you single women dating men. Is the man you're dating willing to protect you and cover you and spoil you and make you feel like queen and top of the world? All right. Or are you the secret chick on the side, or he don't want to bring you out to the public, or he don't care much about who you are? All right. This is very key. Okay. So you got to figure out what you're going to settle for and what you're going to have a standard for. It's very important. And so you want to make sure you understand that the joining of a husband and wife is the beginning of a new family and a new clan. Okay? Now, let me go back to Jewish understanding. So the male child that comes out first represents the matrix. The man, you don't understand the matrix until you go see the movie called The Matrix, starring Keanu Reeves. All right? And he's born. He's supposed to have been born in a wrong world, which is the matrix. Hold on. I got to sneeze. Please forgive me. And so Larry Fishburne, forgot his name on the picture, but he goes and kind of snatches Keanu Reeves, you know, out of the matrix and brings him to the real world, which is supposed to be a world that's supposed to be not as luxurious and exciting as the matrix. But the matrix was a fake world. So he brought him, so he got born again in the red pill, blue pill. So he eats the pill, he goes back inside of a womb, and he comes out on the other side. But here was the problem. The chosen one was supposed to go back into the matrix and pull other folks out because he's the chosen one, okay? And what happened is the fight is not physical. The fight is mental. So whatever happens in that realm affected his body in the other realm. So if the mind dies in the matrix, the body dies in the other world. This is very key. So the key to everything is your level of understanding, how you think, how you perceive, how you understand stuff. So you're defeated by your brain. You're defeated by your thinking. You're also defeated by the forms that you have been taught. Love the Matrix. That's right. Did the Matrix 1, 2, and 3. I thought it should have Matrix 1 and left everything else alone because 2 and 3 was terrible. They should have left Matrix 1 and left it alone. But they did 2 and 3 because of the money that it made. And you didn't know that it was a black woman that really wrote that script. To other two brothers, I forgot their names. One of the brothers went and got a sex change operation, but he actually took the script from a black woman and made billions off of it. And she sued in court, and they had to give money to this black woman that wrote The Matrix. Look it up on Facebook. Look it up, Google it. And so here's the point I'm making. The point I'm making is this: you have to understand the power of birth and the power of the birthright. And the birthright means depending on your birth, determine the rights you have. So if you're born first, you got certain rights. If you're born second, you got certain rights. If you're born third, you got certain rights. And I'm only focusing on born first. Whoever is born first as the male man is the Matrix. He sets the world for his other brothers and sisters, and he's most likely given the wealth and the power of his family that his father and mother, when they die, turn over to him, and he takes that wealth and continues the last name legacy. He's the Matrix. At this point, Esau is going to be the Matrix. He comes out first, but Jacob comes out second, holding on to the ankle and the heel bone. Esau had a whole lot of red hair over his body, which represents the blood of Christ. Harry baptized. Jacob comes out with no hair, means smooth, slick, slickster. He don't want to come through the front, he want to come through the back. Y'all get that next week. And so what you understand is not the intimate face, is to go around and sneak. So what happened is you got two males, both born through the doorway of Rebecca, and both have a purpose. But here is the divine thinking of God. This is the divine choice of God. And when you read Romans chapter 8, chapter 9, you'll find this strange scripture. And this is the one: Jacob I love, Esau I hate it. All right? Jacob I love, and Esau I hate it. And so what you'll find out here is that God chooses things even before you do something. All right? God chooses things before you do something. That's deep. All right? That means that God got the power to look at your heart, read your heart, read your mind, and then choose you before you even do anything. So that's crazy. He is the reader of the heart. He's the reader of the mind. So that's why God can say, Esau I rejected and Jacob I chose. Because inside of every individual is a heart. Hello, Vincent. Every person that's made in God's image has the power to choose. So when God looked at Esau's heart, he knew that Esau would choose to despise the birthright. So what God does, he does the X factor, all right? He changes the position of the birth succession spiritually. Even though Esau comes out, that's the Holy Ghost blowing open the door. Esau comes out first, Jacob really comes out first spiritually. So God did what I call the X factor. He crossed the arms and allowed by position of spiritual authority to come out first. Why? Because Jacob, watch this closely, you can get it. Jacob understood spiritual passion, love for the kingdom, and willing to pay the price to do it through Christ. Now, many of you watching me today and those that watch me go off the air, you've been to church, you've been around church, you sat in the church parking lot, went to a church program, went to a funeral, went to a wedding. We've been all up and around church, but we've never actually did what the church says. We didn't step into church ministry. We didn't step into kingdom ministry. So we put our political parties, we put our values against scripture, and God said, you sound just like Esau. You despise your birthright. You despise what God tells you. And the word despise means you shrugged it off. It's no big deal. So what that I'm born? So what that I'm called? So what that I'm a young lady? So what that I'm a young man? So what I got life to breathe? So what this? So what happened is you don't even care that God gave you breath. You don't even care that God cares about you having a call. So you despise it. You overlook it. You're not serious about it. You are the same person of Esau. Despise your birth. Now, let me give you something. This is very key. I am Michael Dwayne McDuffie, born July 29th, 1963, 9:08 p.m. at Barnard Hospital on a Wednesday night. I thought it was a Monday, but a Wednesday. All right. The doctor that helped bring me in, the midwife, was Dr. Vincent Short. My father was Isaac and Ruby. I already was the second brother to the first brother. The first brother's name was Ronald. They was planning on calling me Richard because they was going to do 4 hours. Ronald, Richard, whatever, whatever. But somehow the Holy Ghost told my mother and father, no, call him Michael. And I don't think that is by accident because my Michael name is spelled M-I-C-H-A-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L-E-L. E-L is Hebrew for almighty power. So you read the word Michael, the angel, he's a mighty warrior. Michael the angel is known for throwing Satan out of the third heaven, who came into the second heaven, who affected the earth, which is the first heaven. All right. So Michael represents warrior. So my name is not by accident, Mike Askew and Vincent. It's by divine purpose, warrior and fighter. If you know anything about my tenacity, my spirit, I am a fighter and I'm a warrior. You can leave me. You can dog me. You can cut me off from your meetings. You don't have to invite me to stuff. I'm going to fight back because I believe that God will do the incredible. God will do the incredible. Now listen to me carefully. Michael's name means something. And so I was born for a certain purpose and for a certain reason. Now, out of all the four brothers, I am the preacher, okay? And I don't believe I'm the only preacher. I'm the first preacher. I believe that Ronald's supposed to preach. Jay's supposed to preach. Let me put in order. Ronald's supposed to preach. Derek's supposed to preach. And Jay's supposed to preach. Now, I know when y'all hear preacher, you always think of behind the pulpit. And God said, Jesus is coming soon. I'm getting a coughing spell. That's not everybody, okay? Everybody preaches differently. But I believe that there's a ministry in the business mountain my brother Ronald's supposed to be in. There's a ministry in the management mountain, which is also business, my brother Derek in. And my brother Jay is in the technology mountain. And all three of them are supposed to work their ministries in the three different mountains. I'm in the religious mountain. But what God wants to do is connect the mountains and work together as a family to advance the kingdom. Now, my brothers are not fully there yet. They go to church, but they don't understand the true meaning of kingdom advancement till its fullness. And my job is to intercede and pray. So God did a switch. He took my eldest brother and switched it and made me the spiritual leader of the family. All right. But guess what? My job is to pray. Lord God, okay, switch it back. I want my brother Ronald to be the spiritual leader. See, I understand purposes and destiny. And when you understand that, you become very comfortable. You don't have to compete. You don't have to be jealous. You don't have to be envious. You just be you. And when you just you, that's a problem with people who don't know who they are. Usually people who are jealous of other people are people that don't know who they are. But those who know who they are, they're called stuck up. They're called arrogant. Why? Because we just confident. I just know who I am. I don't have to fight number one. I don't have to fight being you. I'm too busy being me. I'm talking about the power of Jacob versus Esau. So Esau comes out first for a reason. He's the matrix and the covering of the family. But here is the flaw that caused Esau his downfall. He despised his calling. He didn't think it was important. Because he wanted to be a hunter of the flesh. All right. He only wanted to chase what he wanted to do, not what God wanted him to. All right. Now, I'm giving you some deep stuff. Now, Jacob, they say, was the guy that hung out in tents. Now, I'm trying to figure this thing out. So, Jacob is the homeboy, and Esau is the street man. All right. Jacob home thinking, because he's sitting in the house, he thinking, meditating. But Esau out hunting for cows and wolves. Lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. You know what I'm saying? So he's hunting flesh. While Jacob's sitting home meditating about, I'm going to take that. I'm going to get in that birthright. Because Jacob understood the power of the birthright, which means if I come out first, I got great blessings. It's 2:21. I got how many minutes for our first break? All right. So what I realized is that Jacob had something in his heart that was not in Esau's heart. And based on what was in Jacob's heart, I allowed God to do a switcheroo, to do the X factor with the switch, and to make Jacob the eldest spiritually based on Jacob's passion for the birthright. Whereas Leonard Jones, I need you to text me the name of your father. Please text me or inbox me the name of your father because we're trying to honor him. They saw the picture of your father with my father, and they both served in the Korean War. And people are trying to bless the veterans who served in the military, and we cannot get the name of your father. Leonard Jones, please call my mom's house. 973-881-0839. Please, Leonard, 973-881-0839, and speak to Ruby and Isaac. And please give Mother Ruby your father's information. I'm on the radio now and I can't call. Please, Leonard. Glad you called. It's one of my Cadet, I am ministry today because of Linda Jones. Cadet counsels him, Steve Rose, Voices of God. I'm everything today because of Linda Jones, and I pray for Linda all day. Hello, Darla. Remember you from the Little Rascals, Darla. I like that name. No one's naming anybody Darla no more. We're having all the Darla. We got Shakimas and Shakishas now. All right, but thank God for Darla. Hello, Mike Askew. So what we see here is that that Jacob had a passion for the kingdom, whereas Esau didn't. Because he didn't care about Sunday morning. He didn't care about joining the church. He didn't care about tithes and offerings. He didn't care about all this. I don't care. I'm firstborn. What does it matter? What do I care about it? And watch that his despise of his birthright cost him something. So look at Genesis. I paraphrase that to you. But if you go to Genesis chapter 25, all right, and look what it says. Starting at verse 21, Isaac prayed hard to God for his wife, but she was barren, which means she could not get pregnant. Okay? And the Bible says, and this is 21 of Genesis 25, Remix Bible, God answered his prayer and Rebekah became pregnant. But the children tumbled and kicked inside of her so much, she said, if this is the way it's going to be, why go on living? Which means it's a wrestling match. You know what the wrestling match was? Jacob, even in the womb, is saying, I'm coming out before Esau, because I want the birthright. All right? Now, what? Look what happened. She went to God to find out, what's all the wrestling? What's up with all the pain? Why is all this turmoil? This is a word for you, Linda, and those watching me. Just because you're a believer in God does not mean you won't go through painful situations. And we got this American society thinking, because I believe in God, I'm not supposed to suffer. That is not biblical. You go through suffering because you're doing what's right. It's not your fault. Mistreated. Maybe your mother didn't want you, your father didn't want you, you grew up with an alcoholic. There's some stuff that's just not your fault. Stop taking blame for it. Rebecca's pregnant, and all she wants is a child. She's not thinking about twins. She's not thinking about all this stuff. All she wants is have a baby, and she gets two of them. And they wrestling like they like on a WWE wrestling match, you know, and both struggling, one trying to come out first, which proved that babies are babies inside the womb, not because they come out after 9 months. All right? That's very key. All right? Now watch this. It says this, two nations are in your womb, two peoples butting heads while still in your body. One people will overpower the other, and the older will serve the younger. Now, this is a response to Rebecca's prayers. Yes, I got you. To Rebecca's prayers, she said, I'm in all this pain. I'm in hurting. I just asked to be pregnant. Is it this bad to be pregnant? And here's the spiritual connotation. All I'm doing is dreaming, reach for my goals, get my vision. Why all this pain, all this struggle? Oh my God, all I'm doing is serve the Lord. That's why you're in trouble. Because there's something that you are conceiving that the enemy is battling. He don't want you to win. He don't want you to make it. He don't want you to go up and go over. He wants to defeat you. And the wrestling is good for you because it's going to strengthen your faith. It's going to show you that you can win. Look what it says here at verse 24. When a time to give birth came, sure enough, there were twins in her womb. The first came out reddish, as if snugly wrapped in a hairy red blanket. And they named them Esau. Harry, his brother followed, his fist clenched tight to Esau's heel. They named him Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when they were born. So this guy, Isaac, is a father at 60. So I don't know if folks get, you got to start having kids. I ain't going to go into this, but I'm trying to show you something. It says this, the boys grew up and Esau became an expert hunter as an outdoorsman. Jacob was a quiet man, preferring to live indoors or dwell in the tents. Now watch the family division. Watch the dysfunctional family. Isaac loved Jacob. All right. All right. Isaac loved Esau because he loved the hunt and the game. But Rebecca loved Jacob. So now you see that the dysfunctional family is not anything new. This was going on back then. There was a division in the house. And so this father liked this son better than this mother liked that son. But God uses our flaws, and he uses these Jewish lifestyles to teach Jewish idioms and different prophetic future happenings by using these church mouths. Hello, Tanisha Donaldson. Now it says this. One day, Jacob was cooking stew. All right. Esau came in from the field, and this is lentil stew, lentil soup. Lentil soup is very healthy, okay? Esau come in from the field starved, and Esau said to Jacob, give me some of that red stew, lentil stew. I am starving. That's how he came to be called Edom, which means red, okay? His name was also called Red, all right? Look what Jacob said, which means while he in his tent, he thinking. He meditating. He thinking what he can do to get his brother's birthright. Jacob said, ask me, make me a trade, barter with me. I'll give you stew for rights to your firstborn inheritance. And look what Esau said. Let me tell you what he's supposed to say. I'm the firstborn son. I got birthright. I'm not giving my stuff. You got to be crazy. I'm not turning my anointing over to you. You got to be a nut. You got to be out your daggone cotton picking my eye. You got to be nuts. That's not what he said. He says, I'm starving. What good is this birthright if I'm dead? All right. Now, the deep thing is that this type of birthright belonged to Esau. It was his right to keep it or his right to give it. So what he did, he does one of two things wrong. He gives access to his birthright to his younger son, to his younger brother called Jacob. Okay. Now, the deep thing was all Jacob ever wanted since he was born was have that birthright. Now, God had already prophesied that the elder would serve the younger. So God had already said that because of Jacob's tenacity and his spiritual call, I am going to switch and put Jacob as the eldest spiritually and put Esau second, because Esau don't care about his birthright. All right. Now watch this. We're going to take a break in 1 minute and come back. Let's do that right now. You've been listening to www.mikebroadcastddv.com, the power of Jacob over the power of Esau. Don't miss this. We'll hit you back in a few minutes.
Tri-State Health and Wellness. If you're searching for a doctor who truly cares about your health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. Dr. Alex specializes in treating law enforcement professionals and their families and features special hours to accommodate alternating work schedules. All necessary testing can be performed in their friendly and comfortable environment. Contact Tri-State Health and Wellness, located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Call 201-791-7771. That's 201-791-7771. Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. A premier sponsor of the BlueMagazine.com and DDVRadio.com. Kale Orthopedic Center, high performance care for bodies in motion. Kale Orthopedic Center is proud to provide comprehensive orthopedic care for the men and women of law enforcement and their families. Contact Kale Orthopedic Center at 201-447-3880. Kale Orthopedic Center, high performance care for bodies in motion. If you're looking for a new vehicle or a certified used vehicle, look no further. Visit Wayne Ford, New Jersey's law enforcement preferred dealer, featuring the largest inventory of pre-owned certified vehicles. Wayne Ford is conveniently located on Route 46 in Wayne, New Jersey. Contact Wayne Ford today. Toll free 888-349-6857. That's 888-349-6857. The Blue Magazine, the nation's unfiltered and independent voice for law enforcement. The Blue Magazine's main objective is to strengthen the ties that bind us together as brothers and sisters in blue. Featuring relative, helpful, and interesting articles while publishing the true and uncensored stories of the men and women in law enforcement who have taken the oath to protect and serve. Visit thebluemagazine.com. That's www.thebluemagazine.com. If you're a police officer, you know that visibility is a key safety issue. Now it's time for you to be the light in the darkness with the world's first patented rechargeable LED identifier, Body Beacon. Whether it be traffic enforcement or search and rescue, increased visibility is key to your safety. Inform your purchasing department about Body Beacon. Visit rescueleaders.com or call 862-221-9069. Homebridge Financial Services, offering mortgages for everyday heroes. Contact Michelle Hendershot at Homebridge Financial Services. Call 973-464-7119. That's 973-464-7119. Are you looking to purchase a home in Florida? For more information, contact Jenny Ramirez. Call Jenny Ramirez at La Rosa Realty. Jenny Ramirez has been finding homes for law enforcement officers
Mercers for over 15 years. Call 321-946-8555 or visit jenny.larosarealty.com. Are you looking for the best dentist and dental care services near you? Discover the Silverstrom Group Difference. Conveniently located in Livingston, New Jersey, the Silverstrom Group is the winner of the Best Dentist Award for 5 years in a row and voted New Jersey Top Dentists for 2018. Providing exceptional and compassionate care, the Silverstrom Group. Call 973-992-3990. That's 973-992-3990. If you're a member of the law enforcement profession and are looking to establish long-lasting business relationships with businesses that are Blue-friendly, it's time to visit visitblue.com. Visitblue.com features some of the best doctors, lawyers, realtors, as well as other service providers, such as home improvement and financial services. If you are looking for reliable, trustworthy service providers, visit visitblue.com. That's www.visitblue.com. If you're looking for the widest variety of talk programming, entertainment, news, and information, you've found it. DDVRadio.com features programs such as Uncle Floyd Radio, The Wise Guy Show, and Blue World Uncensored. DDVRadio.com, the official radio network of VisitBlue.com and TheBlueMagazine.com. And now, back to the program. DDVRadio.com.
All right, we're back. You've been listening, of course, to, of course, www.mikebroadcastddv.com. And we have been talking about, of course, the power of Jacob over Esau. And I'm talking about two different blessings. I've been walking through the story. And that's funny that God would bring me back to this story, because I talked about this maybe about a month ago, and God brought me right back to it, because I'm offspringing from the book of Psalms 47, verses 3 and verse 4, where it talks about Jacob is my excellency, and he receives the inheritance I've chosen for him and for Jacob I love. And I told you the word love really means I chose Jacob even before Jacob came out of his mama's womb. And I knew that inside of Jacob, he would have a passion to chase after the birthright. And due to him have a passion for the birthright, and Esau don't care about the birthright, he lost the birthright. And God saw the choice before Jacob made the choice, and God saw the lack of choice before Esau had the lack of choice. So back to Genesis chapter 25 and look at verse 33. Jacob said, first swear to me, and he did it. On oath, Esau traded away his birthright as the firstborn. Jacob gave him bread and gave him stew of lentils. You can look up lentils, very healthy soup. He ate and drank and got up and left. That's how Esau shrugged off his rights as the firstborn. And I like how the Remix Bible, he shrugged it off, which means it wasn't a big deal. It's not important to serve Christ. It's not important to pray. It's not important to give tithes and offerings. It's not important to sow seed. It's not important. All that stuff. They get onto that Jesus stuff too much. You don't have to do it. You have to lay hands on the sick. No big deal. You have to know. You have to pray over your kids. No big deal. You have to read the scripture. I go to church when I feel like it. See, what you're actually doing, you're struggling off everything that God gave you that you're supposed to take advantage of and to appropriate the promise. Now, the birthright is halfway lost to Esau. But what happened is Esau has one more chance to try to get half the birthright, because the birthright includes two things. The birthright, rights by birth, but also is called the blessing. And the blessing is only pronounced by the father over you right before he dies, or he knows he's about to die. There's a communion meal that's prepared that the father loves, and then the physical father triggers blessings from his mouth and from his heart. Hello, Jewel Parker. I've been seeing the name Parker all day today. Parker. So God about to do something in the lives of Parkers. And so the deep thing is that you get to see how things trigger in the lives of individuals who don't really care about spiritual stuff. Now jump over to Genesis 27. Now I'm going to show you something. I'm going to jump over a little bit. I don't want to read Genesis 26. But you're going to see two things about Esau and Jacob. Two brothers. Esau was the eldest by birth, which he should have been the matrix and then went to the birthright, which is also include the final blessing spoken by the father. And Jacob was supposed to be second. But Jacob had made up in his mind, I'm taking the birthright. And he did that inside of the womb of Rebekah. There was a war going on. It was a struggle. It was a wrestling match. And if you know it or not, Esau did come out physically first, but he ended up spiritually second. So there was a switch. There was an X factor. There was a move. So if you're spiritually aggressive, you'll run past people who don't care about spirituality. If you're spiritually aggressive about the things of Christ, you'll run past church folk. All right, now, and I see this all the time. Just because someone's in ministry for 40 years and God will anoint a 17-year-old who got a pure love for Christ, and the anointing will fall faster on the 17-year-old than the 50-60-year-old because they got a form of godliness but not the power thereof. So a lot of times when I was growing up in ministry, I was always the youngest minister in the room. And Pastor Lagarde would always let me speak before everybody else. And so I used to get all the jokes, you know, all the older men say, why do you always let Minister Mike speak? How you get his own Sunday and second Sunday? Because I got the birthright. See, the birthright brings you in the rights that other folks don't understand. Because I wasn't after form and fashion and position. I just wanted God's presence, and God would start knocking folk on the floor, healing people. Folks got a wheelchairs, blind eyes were open, and I would wave my hand and folks would fall in like domino effect. So what kind of thing is this? It's called the birthright. That means I'm embracing what God called me to be, and I'm not trying to be like you, and I'm very confident who I am. And so I would preach like I want to, throw my coat, blow on people, and I watch God do crazy stuff. You know why? Because I appropriated my rights due to my spiritual birth. But there were other ministers on staff who, you know, just performing fashion, you know, they knew right when they tell the organ to start to tune up, all right there, and the music goes dun 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 dun, they said, Jesus, raise him from the dead, and Jesus, come on, help me out, organist, and give me a J for Jesus, and E. I'm like, what are we doing? You know, y'all, I'm nice, I'll go clap along with it, clap, hey, praise the Lord. If I go home and be like, Lord, please help us, because we need more than entertainment. And I know there's a certain entertainment to preaching, because I know different people's styles. But if you make that the only show, if that's all you got, then we are empty. I don't mind a little show after you give me some substance, but give me something to work with first before you start going into all the other stuff. Hello, Michelle Billups. Hello, Jewel Parker. Hello, LQ. So we come back to chapter 27, which is very powerful, because I'm showing you how you can determine what level of blessing you receive. Now, if you are the guy or the woman that despised the birthright, you don't care about spirituality, it's not really important to you, then God will overlook you and choose somebody else. That's what it comes down to. And what happened is when Esau recognizes what he's about to lose, he starts to cry, and he don't get back what he lost. So there are things you lose in time you can't get back. God forgives, time doesn't. See, so which means that if you finally get your act together at 60, that's good that you did, but you should have got it together at 20. I said this today, and I hope you can really understand this. I had a personal encounter with Christ as a junior in high school, President Crystal. And even though I grew up in church, I really believe that Christ was my savior, but I didn't have an encounter. His spirit came in my room, and I was lifted from a spirit of suicide, okay? So from a junior to a senior, I began to minister to my friends, and by senior year, I really was doing ministry and didn't know I was doing it. But the thing is, I lost 16 years. Which means I didn't advance the kingdom during the pep rallies. I didn't minister to my freshman class. I missed my sophomore years. I'm trying to show you something. All right. I spent eighth and ninth grade shaking all the time, scared to death that one day my mother would die, my father would die. I would be in school and saliva would run up through my stomach to my mouth because I thought when I get home, my father would be dead. My mother would be dead. I had these images of folks dying, getting shot, and the devil tormented me from eighth grade, really seventh, nope. Eighth and ninth, 2 years of torment until that spirit broke over me, obviously, in my senior year. Now, I was an AB student in high school, but look what happened. I finally became aware of the kingdom and what were my rights due to my born again experience. But the problem is, look at all the time I lost. Suppose I was more aware of this in eighth grade, seventh grade, sixth grade. Suppose I was about my father's business by the age of 12, which Jesus was. He is full aware of what the father business entailed by the age of 12, because the sooner you know, the faster you go. So one of the things about time is that you can't get it back. So I see some of these brothers, Linda and President Crystal, and many of you watching, Marcus Garvey, you know, I finally got it together, Rev. I got it together, man. It took me long. I got it together. I said, well, how old are you? 85. Hey, I got it together, Pastor. I finally got hold of you. 65. I said, God been trying to get you together at 5 years old, six. So all that time you wasted, now you can, and I don't knock you getting together, but what happens if you raise a child in the Lord and they never go off course? Suppose they stay fixed on what they're supposed to do early. That's appropriating the birthright early. And I realize a lot of church folks you run into, Linda and Marcus, are people who are going to a church building, going to a religious system, and never had an encounter with Christ and don't understand the purpose of being born again. Because when you are born again, you got access to birthrights. Nicodemus asked a question, and this was the question. Thank you, Crystal. She says, wow. And here's the question, Linda. And this is what Nicodemus said. Nicodemus says, I hang out with other religious Jewish leaders, and we know you the bomb diggity. We know you lit because they talk about you. So I came at night to ask you a question alone. How do you work these works unless God sent you? How are you doing these things? How are you raising the dead? How are you performing? How are you walking on water? How are you stopping stuff? How are you doing this? And then Jesus gives them the key. You must be born again. You must be sent from above. As a matter of fact, the original language says sent from above. We put in born again, which means you got to go back into a mother's womb and come back out again. That's just like Keanu Reeves from The Matrix. You got to go back to the beginning, get your recreated spirit, which means born again, and pick up a spirit that was never tainted by sin. So go back and get your keys to the kingdom because you lost them. Go back and get the keys and come back to the doorway of Christ. And now I give you keys how to operate in the spirit and in the physical world, how to operate in the unseen world and the seen world. I give you birthrights to heaven and earth. Are you catching me? It's yours, but you got to follow me. And then he said to Nicodemus, how you be a leader in Israel and don't understand these things? He said, this stuff is ABC level. If you can't understand these things, you can't understand deeper things. And then he says something deep. He says, the wind blows where it wants to. You know not where it starts and where it ends. So the Holy Spirit is the wind, which means that God wants to communicate. His wind is powerful, and it does what it wants. It does what it wants. No one controls hurricanes. You have to readjust to them. So when they blow into town, you start packing clothes to get out the way because that's God's spirit moving. I'll get that next week. So the spirit of God and hurricanes work side by side. So when you get inside of your purpose and you download your birthrights and you walk in them, your power and purpose is just as strong as a hurricane. Whoever gets in your way will be uprooted. Whoever tries to stop you will be removed. I'm trying to tell you, this is you're very dangerous when you get inside of the eye of your storm. Keep in mind, the storm is on the outside. The peace of the storm is on the inside. And a storm is a circle. So in the middle of the storm is the radius. From the point of the center to the edge of the circle is the radius, which you get the term radio, which means direction. The diameter divides into the circle, which is the 3.1415926.53, irregular, irrational, irrefutable. So when you stand in the middle of the kingdom and you operate to the birthright, there is nothing that can stop you but you. I never heard it talk like that before. Thank you, Pat. Thank you, President Crystal. All right, Josh. So I'm showing you something that there are rights you have. Now, this is what's going to be damaging. Look at Genesis 27. I'm going to try to get through this quick. Verse 1, Remix Bible. When Isaac had become an old man, he was almost blind, or really blind. He called for his eldest son, Esau. He says, my son. He says, yes, father. I'm an old man, and I might die any day now. Do me a favor. Watch this. Get your quiver of arrows and your bow and go out to the country and hunt me some game. Watch this. Then fix me a hearty meal, the kind that you know I like, and bring it to me to eat so that I can give you my personal blessing before I die. This is going to be the confirmation of the birthright. Halfway, Esau lost the birthright because he gave it by vow to his brother. Now he's trying to get the birthright. Then it says in verse 5, Rebekah was eavesdropping as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. As soon as Esau had gone off to the country to hunt game for his father, Rebekah spoke to her son Jacob. I just overheard your father talking with your brother Esau. And he said, bring me some game and fix me a hearty meal so that I can eat and bless you with God's blessing before I die. Now, my son, listen to me. Do what I tell you. Go to the flock. Get me the two young goats. Pick the best. I'll prepare them into a hearty meal, the kind that your father loves. Then you'll take it to your father. He'll eat and bless you before he dies. But mother, Jacob said, my brother Esau is a hairy man. I have smooth skin. What happens if my father touches me? He'll think I'm playing games with him. I'll bring down a curse on myself instead of a blessing. If he comes to that, said his mother, I'll take the curse on myself. Now, just go and do what I say. Just go and do what I say. Just go do what I say. Now watch this. This is a deep thing, and don't miss this, Robert. Don't miss this, Krista. Don't miss this, my brother Willie Smith. Rebekah, in the Old Testament typology, is the Holy Spirit. Esau, in Old Testament typology, is Christ Jesus. Jacob is sinful man. Rebekah is going to tell sinful man to get inside of the clothes of Esau, which represents Christ Jesus, the blood, the hair, baptized in the blood. So when the Father God blesses Esau, is as if he's blessing Jesus. So when God blesses Jesus Christ, he blessed me and you because we're dressed in the clothes of Esau, which represents Jesus. And his eyes are blind, so he don't look at your sin. He closes his eyes and he blesses Mike McDuffie as if I'm Jesus Christ, even though my behavior does not align to it, but my faith aligns me to Christ's behavior. So God blesses me as if I'm Christ. See, that's it's positioning that gets you the birthright. So Jacob does everything Rebecca says. Rebecca is the Holy Spirit. And some of y'all never get a birthright blessing because you reject what the Holy Spirit tell you. So I challenge you to give, sow seed, align yourself. And some of y'all look up into the sky like I'm talking to somebody else. It's because we're missing the move of God and God is trying to give you a breakthrough. Look what it says. It says this right here in verse 11. It says, but mother, Jacob said, my brother Esau's a hairy man. I have smooth skin. What happens if my father touches me? He'll think I'm playing games with him, and I'll bring down a curse to myself. She said, I'll take the curse. I'll take the curse. What did Jesus do at Calvary? He took the curse for you. See? He took the curse for you. All right? Go and get the goats. So he went and got them and brought them to his mother. She cooked a hearty meal and the king that the father loves so much. The Holy Spirit knows what the father likes. So when the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, he's trying to get you to prepare yourself for the father to cook something in the kitchen. Okay? That's where I got that from. Rebecca took the dress up clothes of her elder son Esau and put them on her younger son Jacob. She took the goat skins and covered his hands and smooth nap around his neck. Then she placed a hearty meal she had fixed and fresh bread she baked in the hands of her son Jacob in the kitchen. He went into his father and said, my father. And Isaac said, yes, which son are you? Jacob answered his father, I am your firstborn son Esau. Liar. I did what you told me. Come now, sit up and eat of my gain so you can give me your personal blessing. Isaac says, so soon? How did you find it so quickly? Hello, Reverend Marcus. Hello, Bishop. Bishop Teron Cunningham, I need you to adopt the school. Reverend Marcus is on top of you. I need you. I know you're across the river now up on Belmont Ave. We need you to help adopt a school. Help out with school 12. I need your help, Bishop. Because your God cleared the way for me. Isaac said, come close, son. Let me touch you. Are you really my son Esau? So Jacob moved close to his father Isaac. Isaac felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but his hands are the hands of Esau. He didn't recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's. But he was about to bless him. He pressed him. You're sure you are my son Esau? Yes, I am. See that term? I am. That represents the name of God, Yahweh. I am. Isaac said, bring the food so I could eat of my son's game and give you my personal blessing. Jacob brought it to him and he ate, which represents communion. He also brought him wine and he drank. Then Isaac said, come close, son, and kiss me. He came close and kissed him, which is okay for fathers to kiss their sons. And Isaac smelt the smell of his clothes. Finally, he blessed him. And this is how he blessed him. Get this, Reverend Marcus. Get this, Bishop. The smell of my son. It's like the smell of an open country blessed by God. May God give you heaven's dew and heaven and earth's fat of grain and wine. May people serve you and nations honor you. You will master your brothers and your mother's sons will honor you. Those who curse you will be cursed and those who bless you shall be blessed. That was the sealing and the finishing of the birthright now pronounced over Jacob, who he thought was Esau. And then right after Isaac had blessed Jacob, Jacob ran out and left. Esau showed up from the hunt. He also had prepared a hearty meal. He came to his father and said, let my father get up and eat of his son's game that he may give me his personal blessing. Notice that Esau fixed the meal and not Rebekah. Religion is coming for God any way you want to come. Relationship means to listen to the Holy Spirit who tells you how to come before God. See? There's a religion you try to think you Burger King, you come any way you want, and the Holy Spirit tells you what to do to come before God. Rebecca is the voice of the Holy Spirit. She instructs Jacob, get us out of Esau's clothes, and the Holy Spirit prepares the meal so the father can smell it and eat it. When the father is pleased, you get what you want. See, this is deep. When the father is pleased, you get what you want. You know what the rest of the kingdom is? When you step in Christ and do what Christ says, every time the Father sees you, he says, Michael, you please me. You do everything right. It makes no sense. We have a lopsided contract because Christ has done everything for us. And as we put on Christ, it's as if we did everything that Christ said. So the blessing that God gives Christ, he gives the body of Christ. Jesus is the head, make up the Christ. So when God speaks to the head, he also speaks to the body. So if Jesus is seated in heavenly places, that means I'm right inside of him. What you see right now is my house. That's my body. But my spirit is the home of God. God turned a house into a home. That's 1 Luther Evangelist chapter 2, verse 1. All right. A house turns into a home because the Father God dwells there. Esau comes in, and while I'm almost done because it's getting late, his father Isaac said, "Who are you?" He said, "I am your son, your firstborn Esau." Isaac started trembling and shaking violently. He said, "Then who hunted game? Who brought it to me? I finished the meal just now before you walked in, and I blessed him. And he's blessed for good. I can't take it back." Esau, hearing his father's words, started crying. Look at my lip, y'all. Look at my lip, y'all. That's church folks in heaven. Because they're going to cry because they didn't do everything God told them to. They didn't walk out their ministry. They didn't serve Christ. They didn't get tithes and offerings. They were holiday believers. They get in church any time they want to. They walk past ministry opportunity over and over. They don't attend. They don't do anything. And they're going to get to heaven later on. I'm talking about the real heaven that manifests fully. And realize so much stuff they could have done, but they walked past it. And you're going to be responsible for many lives who are cut off from God throughout eternity because you did not yield to what God told you to do. So Esau crying, "He took my birthright. He took my birthright." Look at it, y'all. Esau, hearing his father's words, sobbed violently and most bitterly and cried to his father, "My father, can you bless me? Your brother," he said, "came here falsely and took your blessing." this is a sad story, man. Esau says, "Not for nothing was he named Jacob, the heel grabber. Twice now he tricked me. First he took my birthright, now he took my blessing." See that, Lakeisha? He took the birthright and he took the blessing. And notice what the father say. "He can't take that. Here, get another one." Nope. Not in Jewish understanding. Not in Jewish culture. When the father pronounced it, "It is done. My word is my bond." And Esau kept begging, "Haven't you kept back any blessing from me?" Isaac answered Esau, "I made him your master and all of his brothers and servants and lavished grain and wine on him. I've given it all away. What's left for you, my son? But don't you have just one blessing for me, Father? Oh, bless me, Father. Please bless me." And the Bible says, Esau cried inconsolably. Please stop there for me, Pastor. This is sad, right? All right, 258. I got 1 minute. Esau said to him, "I'm going to give you one last blessing, and I'll pick this up later. You'll live far from earth's bounty, remote from heaven's dew. You'll live by your sword, hand to mouth, and you'll serve your brother. But when you can't take it anymore, you'll break loose and run free." Which means that you're going to live, but not like your brother. You're going to live off your brother. Your brother going to cover you. And if you read the next chapter, a few chapters, him and his brother get restored. And Jacob asked for forgiveness from Esau. So there was a restoration. But Jacob, in them being part of the covenant name of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm going to come back later on while I'm riding and really break this story down. I know you enjoyed this today. Didn't you enjoy this today? I gotta go, but hear me closely. Tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock a.m., the Mighty Sons of God Fellowship Church. I'm probably going to teach some of this tomorrow. Please tune in and watch this, or you can attend. If you want to attend our church service, please inbox me. I'll give you the address. I don't invite everybody to my local church service. I'm sorry. I don't have an open door policy. I really don't. That's the way God uses me. I allow people to come to me as God leads me. But then I'm also preaching in Ewing, New Jersey tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock at Bishop Butler's church. We're taking folks down about an hour and a half away down by Great Adventures, down by Trenton. But I need you to come out and be a blessing. Pray for me. And those watch today, if you enjoyed it, go to the Cash App and sow a seed. And let's make sure you tap into the tribe of Jacob. Don't be rejected because you act like Esau. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. I love all of you. God bless you.
Tri-State Health and Wellness. If you're searching for a doctor who truly cares about your health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. Dr. Alex specializes in treating law enforcement professionals and their families and features special hours to accommodate alternating work schedules. All necessary testing can be performed in their friendly and comfortable environment. Contact Tri-State Health and Wellness, located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Call 201-791-7771. That's 201-791-7771. Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. Plus, a premier sponsor of TheBlueMagazine.com and DDVRadio.com. Kale Orthopedic Center, high performance care for bodies in motion. Kale Orthopedic Center is proud to provide comprehensive orthopedic care for the men and women of law enforcement and their families. Contact Kale Orthopedic Center at 201-447-3880. Kale Orthopedic Center, high performance care for bodies in motion. If you're looking for a new vehicle or a certified used vehicle, look no further. Visit Wayne Ford, New Jersey's law enforcement preferred dealer, featuring the largest inventory of pre-owned certified vehicles. Wayne Ford is conveniently located on Route 46 in Wayne, New Jersey. Contact Wayne Ford today. Toll free 888-349-6857. That's 888-349-6857. The Blue Magazine, the nation's unfiltered and independent voice for law enforcement. The Blue Magazine's main objective is to strengthen the ties that bind us together as brothers and sisters in blue. Featuring relative, helpful, and interesting articles while publishing the true and uncensored stories of the men and women in law enforcement who have taken the oath to protect and serve. Visit TheBlueMagazine.com. That's www.TheBlueMagazine.com. If you're a police officer, you know that visibility is a key safety issue. Now it's time for you to be the light in the darkness with the world's first patented rechargeable LED identifier, Body Beacon. Whether it be traffic enforcement or search and rescue, increased visibility is key to your safety. Inform your purchasing department about Body Beacon. Visit rescueleaders.com or call 862-221-9069. Homebridge Financial Services, offering mortgages for everyday heroes. Contact Michelle Hendershot at Homebridge Financial Services. Call 973-464-7119. That's 973-464-7119. Are you looking to purchase a home in Florida? For more information, contact Jenny Ramirez. Call Jenny Ramirez at La Rosa Realty. Jenny Ramirez has been finding homes for law enforcement officers for over 15 years. Call 321-946-8555 or visit jenny.larosarealty.com. Are you looking for the best dentist and dental care services near you? Discover the Silverstrom Group Difference. Conveniently located in Livingston, New Jersey, the Silverstrom Group is the winner of the Best Dentist Award for 5 years in a row and voted New Jersey Top Dentists for 2018. Providing exceptional and compassionate care, the Silverstrom Group. Call 973-992-3990. That's 973-992-3990. If you're a member of the law enforcement profession and are looking to establish long-lasting business relationships with businesses that are blue-friendly, it's time to visit visitblue.com. Visitblue.com features some of the best doctors, lawyers, realtors, as well as other service providers, such as home improvement and financial services. If you are looking for reliable, trustworthy service providers, visit visitblue.com. That's www.visitblue.com. If you're looking for the widest variety of talk programming, entertainment, news, and information, you've found it. DDVRadio.com features programs such as Uncle Floyd Radio, The Wise Guys Show, and Blue World Uncensored. DDVRadio.com, the official radio network of VisitBlue.com and TheBlueMagazine.com.